KUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. If there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never just wanting to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication.
Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jefferson Smith. If you want to tweet at me, it's Jefferson. It's at Jefferson D. Smith. Right now, we've got Donald Cohen. We've talked about water policy. We've talked about housing policy. We've talked a little bit about the Postal Service and things we're grateful for. He's the executive director of In the Public Interest and the co-author of, I've got the book here. I'm going to hold it up. Privatization of Everything, How the Plunder of Public Goods Transformed America and How We Can Fight Back. What's public and what's private? What ought to be public? What ought to be only owned by one or a few people is a critical topic. Donald Cohen here to talk to us about it. Mr. Cohen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How'd you get into this mess?
Well, that's a long story.
What's the short version?
Okay. Well, I've been working on these issues for many years. I run an organization that's been around for about 12 years and did, for the previous 20, did similar work. And fundamentally, because I came to believe even in the early 90s, that if we want to deliver on, solve the big problems that we have, climate, lack of health care, inequality, that we need we need public things. We need the public to be in charge and to be able to carry those things out. We need people who trust government. We need a government worthy of its trust, of our trust. So that's my starting point. Then, of course, you start to dig and you realize how what's in the way of that. And a lot of it is private power.
Let's start.
That's expressed in a variety of ways.
Let's start with where you started. What are the areas of life in your mind that should be public? What are the areas that you would characterize as public goods, and explain your rationale?
Sure. Well, let me explain my rationale first. Here's my definition. First off, public goods are those things that we decide. We believe that we can decide what they are, but that we decide everyone needs to get through life. Health, mobility, to be able to move around, education, clean air and clean water. Right now, broadband, access to broadband, I think we're all clear. You need that to get through life. So that's number one. Number two, it's also the things that we need everyone to have, right? It's in our interest. We learned through COVID and many other things that we need everyone to have access to healthcare. Whether I'm sick or not, it's in my interest for everyone else to be healthy and access. Same is true whether I have kids. I need every child to be educated, whether I have a kid or not. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is they're the things that we can only do if we do them together. You can only get universal health care if we have government control and involvement. It doesn't mean you don't have some private involvement, but it means who's in charge and that it's a public thing.
So to be a public thing, you need all three of those things?
I believe so.
Yeah. So give an example of something that isn't, and I don't mean a cutesy one, right? But something that's like, no, blank thing that is important, that people value highly. This is an appropriate sector. This is not, we do not live in the Soviet Union or a mythical improved or worsened version of it. There is a role for what we call private employers, and for companies. What is that role to you? What are those things? What are examples of stuff that, well, this obviously doesn't make sense for government to do. This is the kind of thing companies should do. And then maybe give a contraposite, give a counterexample.
Well, the thing, I want to change your question. I want to key in on one word of your question. Government to do, the word do. There's a difference between do and control, and I'll give some examples. There's private involvement in virtually all public goods. Roads, private companies build them. I sometimes come to the example of food. Food, the government doesn't make food, private companies make food, but the government is, the public purpose is to decide that, is to ensure, rather, that it's healthy and that everyone has access to it, right? So that's a public-private thing. There's lots of them. Broadband, lots of companies or private companies have broadband, but we need government regulation to make sure that everyone's got it, that it's affordable, et cetera, et cetera. So I think most things have public and private in both of them.
Where areas, so your book is privatization of everything, was there one area? I mean, for many of us, right, we have a political memory of something that awakened us a little bit, that made us start paying attention. Not necessarily a single epiphanic moment, single epiphany, single realization that sparks a journey. But sometimes there are. Was there a time that you, looking back, that you saw something that was moving in a direction of privatization that sort of woke you up and said, oh, holy mackerel, I really got to build this organization. I got to write this book.
Let me think if I can get it under one, so maybe a couple. So, I mean, the thing that, I often say, when people say, well, can privates do some things? Prisons, no role. Zero role should be for private companies, running prisons. So, that's one that I can just sort of put out there. Yeah. And then, the more we learned about that, the more we started. So that's, it's disgusting, it's wrong, and there's all sorts of reasons it's wrong and counterproductive to our public purpose and to us. So that's one. I was motivated originally by these ideas, by the need for us to get healthcare, right? All universal healthcare, whether it's single payer, Medicare for all, or whether it's a pay-to-play system or whatever it is, you can only do that if the government basically is in charge of how we get healthcare, even if it's a mixed system. So that's another one. And then I think I just saw it chipping away, right? What I learned, I was in San Diego in the mid to late 90s and saw the county of San Diego entertain a proposal, which they ultimately did, to outsource their $1 billion deal to outsource their entire IT system. And I watched how it was sold. It was sold businesses cheaper, better, faster, easier, and so I kept hearing that over and over again and kept seeing the reality be quite different, and then started asking questions about what that meant, cheaper, better, faster, and why.
What are the next areas that people should be aware of? In our state, it was when Nestle was trying to buy the water in the Columbia Gorge, right? The efforts to privatize water and the need to remember that water bottle companies don't sell water, they sell plastic bottles. What are areas that are on your radar screen that are a part of everything that people should be most aware of?
Well, let me start by saying what they should be aware of, and then I'll see if I can get to the most important. So first of all, it's important to understand there's governments in America pre-COVID, outside of the COVID bump, the governments in America were spending about $7 trillion a year, about half state, half local. That's for everything, for paperclips, for staff, for everything. We think about $2 trillion in contracts and procurement of different things. So the $7 trillion being spent, if you're the head of a private prison company, you're looking for a piece of it. If you're a water company publicly traded on the stock market, you're looking for a piece of it. Right now, we're seeing, if you're a road builder, you're looking for a piece of it, logically. Education technology companies are looking for a piece of it. There's $750 billion spent in K-12 education. We are increasingly seeing public buildings that are, that need repair, dorms on university campuses, things like that. Even K-12, even public schools, we are seeing companies saying, those schools need repair, or they need new schools, and you know the government doesn't have the cash to do it, so we'll come in and we'll do it,
and we'll own a piece of it
and get control over it. So we see a big push on that as well.
So Donald, I do a longer form thing. I hope we have a chance to continue this conversation. I would love to steal you again. We do the Democracy Nerd long form conversation. We'd love to have you on it. But the book is The Privatization of Everything. Donald Cohen's a co-author. The organization is In the Public Interest. Donald, thank you so much for your time, and thanks so much for your work.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You be well. This is the Tom Hartman Show. We'll be back with your phone calls, 202-808-9925.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program, 202-808-9925. We'll be right back.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-916-0994. 800-916-0994. That's 800-916-0994.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underle said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Calm. If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmannReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmannReport.com.
It is Thank You Thursday. This is Jeff. You are listening to the Tom Hartmann Program, your program. We got Kitty from Delray Beach, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually was very curious what you think about this. You know, when you see people running for, you know, in politics, who they surround themselves with is very telling. And one person that Donald Trump had around him on Wednesday was a woman named Gina Reinhart. Do you know who she is?
No.
Gina Reinhart is the wealthiest woman in Australia. So my question is this, because this is something that bothers me. Who decides what happens here in America? Americans or foreigners? Because it seems to me like the foreigners have a big thumb on our scale a lot. Citizens United, I don't know this. You tell me if you know. Citizens United is where any American corporation can donate, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, American corporations aren't always owned by Americans.
Well, not only that, but what Citizens United allows for is for essentially secret donations, for non-cataloging of non-direct to candidate political expenditures. And that has meant that it's pretty hard to regulate, made much harder to regulate foreign oligarch contributions into American political campaigns. I want to pick up on something you said. I didn't know about Ms. Reinhart. I didn't know about that. We'll have to look at it and would appreciate any information you want to share with me. But but what I will say is that here's one way to frame what's happening. One way to frame what's happening is it's team democracy versus team oligarch, right? When there's Elon Musk wasn't born in the United States. America is a good place to, this is a good place to make a living. And I'm not even focused on him. But you look at what's happening in Hungary, what's happening in Turkey, what's happening in Australia, what's happening in Russia. I mean, the Russian oligarch relationships with the Trump family, et cetera, that's not about United States and Russia merely. That's about dough. That's about oligarchs saying, hey, what if we just ran the world, didn't have to mess with this democracy within nation states? Nation states have some weaknesses, but some good news is that regular human beings that don't have $1 billion can still have influence, can still cast a ballot, have that dignity, have that power, be in on the joke, not just have the joke be on them. But go ahead, last word for you, Kitty.
So yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. And like, I used to think to myself when Citizens United got changed, I was like, okay, I give a politician $5 and then this guy gives him $5 million. He's not going to listen to me anymore.
Well, they both start with a five.
Listen to that guy.
I mean, Kitty, I don't know what you're complaining about. They both start with a five. You just stop with a five and you're fine.
Right. But so, you know, I used to think that. I'm like, okay, so the millionaires here get to say. And then I'm like, wait a second. It's just not a millionaires anymore. It's foreigners. I don't want this woman deciding what our environmental policies are. She's in mining. That she's an heiress to a mining company. What do you think she cares about our Everglades or what's maybe underneath the Everglades?
Yes, I think probably her top priority is the Everglades. I think the reason she's supporting Donald Trump is she just wants to save the Everglades. That's a big priority.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Australian oligarchs, as a rule, prioritize mostly critical elements of our natural environment.
Yeah, well, you know, the Everglades first was destroyed by an Australian who was dropping Melaleuca seeds because he wanted to dry it up to make it cattle land.
Holy mackerel, I didn't know this,
but
we're
going to
go out
in
the Kitty, before I go to the next caller, anything you're grateful for?
I am grateful for the Gen Z. I can't believe I'm saying it. I'm a Gen X, and I've been bitching about them for a long time, but I'll tell you what, proud of the Gen Zs.
No, but to be clear, I think who a lot of people have been complaining about, right, when people were falsely, because I've been saying about millennials, they've been getting the short end of the stick with housing prices and college costs. But the Gen Z thing, there, you know, if generational stuff might be a little bit hooey, but there's some reality there. And Gen Z, there is a differentiation. Kitty, thank you so much. Let's go to Gary from Toledo, Ohio. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello, Jefferson. I'm calling from, Toledo, Ohio, and I was born and raised in Michigan, right across the border here. And I am so proud and so happy and grateful for the way Michigan voted this time. And the abortion issue, it was just fantastic. We tried here in Ohio. We got that sorry J.D. Vance. We tried so hard to get Tim Ryan, and we just couldn't push him over the 50% mark.
Well, I think I want to. Was it Morris's call earlier? The thing I want to say about Ohio, and it's not just about white people, but it is also about white people, that that I think now is the time in Ohio to be reaching out, including to white people, including in suburban and exurban and rural areas, and saying, what's that history going to be on? What's actually going to do right by the middle class? What's actually going to do right by the planet? What's actually going to do right by helping other human beings? What's actually going to do right by making sure we have a democracy? And not only worrying about that, not only building towards it in the 3 months, 6 months, 6 weeks leading up to an election, but building up to it every day, building infrastructure, doing like what Paul Wellstone did with the rural farmers in Minnesota. And that'd be my note to Ohio, is we got to work beyond. A friend of mine from law school, John Cranley, was mayor of Cincinnati and has worked on running for statewide office. We got to build infrastructure, pro-democracy infrastructure, and I can say that word, infrastructure, in Ohio and in Florida and a bunch of other people, and not just leave it, and not just leave it and expect young people and people of color to save democracy. We've all got a responsibility to it. Final word for you, Gary.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say I'm 67 years old. I'm a boomer, and I'm a gay male. I've been with my partner 44 years now.
Congratulations.
And, I just want to say I'm really grateful, too, for that Gen Z coming out and voting. Yep. You know, for a baby boomer here to be so proud of that generation. It's like my grandchildren, if I had grandchildren. It's their generation, and I'm just proud that they came out and supported the Democrats. They're our only hope.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Jeff. Are we ready for the big, big finish? If need be, we'll do a speed round. If you call in right now, 202-808-9925, I will do my level best to make sure we get to your call before we wrap the show. 202-808-9925.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Sitting right here, his name is George. The call-in number is 202-808-9925. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your keys in your car when you run into the gas station for a snack. I mean, you know, most of the time you're probably fine, but what if you come back to see someone driving off with your car? When I travel, like I will later this month, and log in on airports and hotels, any hacker can get access to my information if I don't use ExpressVPN. Hackers can make up to $1,000 a person selling my information and yours on the dark web. ExpressVPN is so easy to use. You can fire up the app with one click and you're done. It works on all of my devices, phone, laptop, tablets. I know I'm secure on the go. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over 1 billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. That's expressvpn.com/Tom. And you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/Tom.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Joe, what do you got for us today?
In reference to Lindsey Graham, I was amazed at his comments where he said if Trump is indicted, there will be riots in the streets. Lindsey Graham was a JAG officer, and in order to be a JAG officer, you have to pass the bar. Was a JAG
officer. I'm sorry, he's a JAG officer? I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, to see a lawyer head for the rat hole instead of acting like a person with a backbone, wow, what a profile and courage, huh?
Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.,
uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All
Our one-hour free podcast recaps our show, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we have the full three-hour podcast available over at TomHartmann.com if you want to really support our program.
Welcome back, everybody. A little bit of news I said we'd get to. We now know that it is official. The House is going to be controlled by the Republicans. Kevin McCarthy is the nominee by the Republican caucus. He's already identified priorities, including inflation. But to be clear, it won't be about undue profits or price gouging. It won't be anything that builds public infrastructure to make us more efficient. It won't be anything that Donald Cohen was talking about to invest in public goods. It'll be more giveaways. It'll be privatization. It'll be deregulation. It'll be, you know, there's no new playbook there. You want to talk about rising crime. There won't be anything upstream. Won't be anything about trying to make sure that third graders can read. Won't be anything about making sure communities are safer. Won't be anything about what actually causes the death of more Americans, which is like car crashes. It'll be trying to lock people up, and it won't be about trying to deal with privatized prisons. We can be sure of that. But I wanted to say something quick about the crime. Recognize, I had to look it up to be sure. 1990, right? When like Bill Clinton went on crime, let's be clear what was happening. You had 729, 758, 757, 747, 90 to 93 crimes, all right? So like between 725 and 750 violent crimes per 100,000 people in the population. Since then to now, they're basically cut in half. We've had lowering crime rates significantly after that. We've now been going between 360 last year. Well, excuse me, it's now. Yeah, last year still. We had 395 violent crimes per 100,000. Of course, we'd rather it be zero. But when they say, oh, we're going to do something about crime, that is more about a propagandized message than it is about addressing actually the trends that are happening. Of course, we got to address crime. Of course, we got to make sure. And you know what? One of the kinds of crime we got to address? It's people shooting people, like in schools. That's a crime I care a lot about. He also wants to talk about border security. They didn't get a wall built during Republicans in charge. This will just be grandstanding. They will work on obstructing and blocking stuff that the Biden administration wants to do. Mitch McConnell won the Senate minority leadership. Meanwhile, there's an audit to the Republican Senate campaign committee. That's Rick Scott's outfit. This is interesting. Now, yeah, I'm going to say it. So this is an interesting political move. So McConnell puts his biggest potential challenger in charge of the campaign, right? So the person who gets the second most votes, because you do a vote count, right? You kind of know who's with you, who's not with you, because you call them one by one when you're running for leadership. That's what happens. Usually happens right before the election, but you've been working on it prior to that. And you kind of know who's with you and knows who's not with you. That was LBJ's power. He knew how to count. That's what counting is, knowing who's with you. All right. So his second biggest vote getter was Rick Scott. So he puts Rick Scott in charge of the campaigns. All right, that's not atypical, but nonetheless smart move. So then if he wins, if those campaigns wins, everybody's happy. All right. And therefore, well, they're not going to change leadership, everybody's happy. But if they lose, then Mitch McConnell points at Rick Scott, removes him from leadership. Rick Scott runs against him for leader, but he's already blamed Rick Scott. It looks like Rick Scott is partially to blame for them losing. So now Mitch McConnell gets to stay in his position, and he's eliminated his primary challenger, not because there's not somebody who could do it, but because there's nobody else who's got the votes. All right. Let's get to your calls, because I promised. Richard from Columbus, Ohio. Go ahead.
Hi. The Republicans keep talking about inflation being the fault of the Democrats, when in reality the fault of inflation is the corporate heads, those oligarchs, that small minority of corporate owners who are shooting the prices up and reaping all these big rewards, these huge profits, like the oil industry.
Record-breaking profits. It's sort of the funny thing, right? It's like, oh, oil prices are too high. That's got to be a real problem for the oil industry. No, opposite. Oil industry is doing better than ever. They're making all-time profits. Yeah, appreciate it. Let's go to Mary Ann. Is it from Remus? Is it Remus?
Yes, it is, Jeff.
Not to be confused with Romulus?
There is a Romulus, Michigan, as well.
Is it nearby?
No, Romulus is down in the Detroit area. Remus is in the very center of the state.
Do you know who named him?
Remus was a surveyor who, back when in the mid-1800s, helped survey this part of the state.
I had no idea. For those people who just think I'm being a weirdo, you're probably right. You're at least partially right. But Romulus and Remus are what? Those were those were the founders of Rome, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
And they were suckled by wolf, right?
By wolves, exactly. Raised by wolves. So everybody, if Remus, but Marianne, you weren't raised by wolves. What's on your mind?
I was raised by diehard Democrats, and I'm grateful for it.
There you go.
And the other thing I'm calling that I'm grateful for is we had a very dedicated, hardworking, smart organization called Voters Not Politicians, who 2 years ago got a resolution on the ballot, or I don't know if you call it that. They got a proposal on the ballot to create a citizens council to draw the districts.
It's a historic move.
Yes, and they, along with hundreds of wonderful volunteers, worked tirelessly to first get it on the ballot, and then after it was passed, they had to fight with the Republicans who wanted to, through the courts, wanted to find every way possible to get rid of it. And the Republicans have been in power in our legislature since the early 80s.
Yeah.
And because of this redistricting, we finally have a Democratic run legislature in Michigan. And I just am so grateful to that and the leader of that organization for making it happen. And I challenge states like Texas and all the other states, I challenge them to do what Voters Not Politicians did here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Marianne. What a great gratitude. What a great thank on Thursday. The Katie Fahey is a hero. And I use that word, we can say heroin, but it also sounds like a drug. So I like the non-gender definition of hero. She is an American hero. She started that organization. I've actually had two long-form interviews with her on Democracy Nerd, the podcast, the nerdy long-form podcast that I do. And I've talked to her. She is the best version of a Democracy Nerd. She is a young woman who led that, and then became a big organization. It's now now run by somebody else, and she's leading a new organization. But it's a historic achievement, and it's the kind of thing. Find a purple state and build a more fair way of doing districts, and that can sweep the nation. It's got to happen. Unfortunately, not every state has a ballot initiative system, so you'd have to go through, in too many states, you have to go through a legislature that was created by a right-wing legislature that was created by bad districts, which is pretty hard to do. But if you find a purple state where you do have a ballot initiative system, wow, Katie Fahey, hero. Julie, go ahead, Julie.
Hi. I want to talk about Trump running for president again.
Yeah.
You know, when he lost, everybody took their signs down. There was lots of Trump signs around here. But on January 6th, a lot of them put them back up. So he kept going and he kept going. And now that he has everything done with, he needs to get more rallies going. Because he can't stand to be by himself. He has to have rallies.
Yeah, and have
so
rallies.
This is why he's running for president, so he can continue his rallies.
Yeah.
He won't win. He won't do anything, but he needs that adulation.
If we got time today, Julie, thank you so much. If we got time today, I'll give my historic analogs. I came up with, was it as many as 10 historic analogs of who Donald Trump might be? It might only be 7. And a little look at his campaign, but boredom in terms of motivation. Politico had an interesting article looking at past presidents who tried to run again and their motivations, which included boredom, power, revenge, and he probably has all those mixed up. It's a good question whether people are going to show up at his rallies like they were before, and I'll talk about that if there's time. But I want to get to Mark. It's Solana Beach, California, wins our Most Patient Listener Award. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Hey, I just wanted to call because I'm eternally grateful, endlessly grateful to Bernie Sanders. I mean, he is such a brave man, and I'm so pleased he has invigorated the youth vote, and that is what's going to make the difference. I just think that he's changed the whole conversation from petty gossip politics to issues, and the kids really respond to that.
A thing that Bernie Sanders did and does better than just about anybody I've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh. He's so brave.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mark. So I think he can do so well as he can do the hour, right? So does he do the best 30 seconds? I don't know. Does he do the best on Instagram? I don't know. Is the best TikTok? I don't know. But you give Bernie Sanders a classroom and you give him an hour and he can connect dots like nobody else. And I watched young people inspired by Bernie Sanders, not because of his volume, not because of what somebody would call charisma, but because he would connect dots and explain what was actually happening and empower people with information. And yeah, it has changed the conversation for sure.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is the Tom Hartman Show. In a little bit, I'll give you my breakdown, my historical breakdown of the Donald Trump campaign for president.
The guys in your life aren't boring, so don't give them boring gifts. Give them a gift from Man Crates. Show him you really care with hundreds of totally unique gift options available at mancrates.com. Like the Whiskey Appreciation Crate with a personalized handmade whiskey decanter and tumblers, ice sphere molds, slate coasters, and snacks. I would love that. Or the Grillmaster Crate with a brass knuckle meat tenderizer, cast iron smoker box, steak thermometers, and more. Man Crates packs his gift in unique containers, so watching him open his gift is an unforgettable experience. Personalization is free, and every Man Crates gift comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. He'll think it's awesome, or Man Crates will make it right. Now through November 21st, Tom Hartman program listeners get an exclusive 15% off with the code RADIO15 at mancrates.com. That's code RADIO15 to get 15% off at mancrates.com.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com.
Get Screwed by Tom Hartman, available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Hey, I have a new book out. It's called The Hidden History of Neoliberalism, How Reaganism Gutted America and How to Restore Its Greatness. Greg Palast calls it a hand grenade of a book. You can pick it up wherever fine books are available. Tag your it. So who is Donald Trump like? What is this presidential campaign shaping up to be like? Are there any historical analogs? What do we know? Well, we know a few things about the data. And I broke this down. Borowitz had a funny headline, you know, Donald Trump seeks unprecedented third impeachment. Relatively funny headline. What are the criteria? How do we evaluate this race? I did it in a couple ways. I actually three. I looked at some of the polling. Polling's close. Donald Trump is not dominating the Republican primaries. Okay, he is. He and DeSantis are pretty close in key early states. Betting markets give him about a better chance than anybody else, but give him right now about a one-third chance at getting the nomination. So I looked at that kind of data. Second thing I did is break down by kind of analytical category. And if, as for instance, so I mentioned polling, mentioned betting markets. Look at his team. Will he be able to organize in the states? The best people might not go with him. I looked at ways that he might have gotten stronger and weaker, essentially, than the last time. Now, one might say he's stronger than he was. He's not strong, and just in the Republican primary, mind you. I'm not talking about the general election, just the Republican primary. He is, of course, not stronger than he was when he was a sitting president. They shut down the primaries so that he could have essentially no opposition. The question is, I'm comparing this now to 2016, forgive me. There are some ways he's stronger. He has now been president. He's actually proved than he was at the beginning of the campaign. He'd never been president. He has shown that he could win, sort of, couldn't win the popular vote, but could be elected, named, sworn in as president of the United States. He has now figured out more who his allies and enemies are. That could make him a little stronger. He might be able to lock up some money, lock up some teams that might be able to, that might have gone elsewhere, having been the standard bearer two times in a row. There's some ways he's weaker. So many institutionalists don't want to be with him. Heck, Ivanka and Jared don't want to be with him as they try to reburnish themselves. Here's one. He's not as fresh and interesting anymore. It's not, you know, the joke is more stale. It's not a, wow, look at that. We've kind of looked at that for a while. They look for the quarter milk in the fridge is a little fresher. People on their side are ready for some of his stuff. They're used to the nicknames. They're used to him poking at people. They're used to him saying extreme, wacky things. After the invasion of Ukraine, Russian influence might be weaker. There's been some crackdown on accounts. Heck, setting that aside, but Donald Trump is no longer on Twitter or Facebook. That probably makes him weaker. He's also been impeached two times, and he's under multiple investigations now. That might make him weaker. So I looked at some of that stuff, and then I looked a little bit at the. He's older now, right? He's in his late 70s, and that doesn't mean that he's disqualified to be president, to be sure. But he might not have the same energy he had. He might not be as strong generally in social media. There might be fewer people that kind of want to associate with him. So that's one, the sort of second area I looked. First, data, then sort of stronger, weaker in categories. And then third, I looked at history. I looked at historical analogs. Donald Trump might be one of the following seven or eight people. He might follow or might learn something from following seven or eight trends. I'll finish with this today. He might be Ross Perot, not as fresh or interesting anymore, and with a power structure that is more ready to block him. It could be him versus DeSantis might be like Reagan challenging Gerald Ford, where Reagan gets famous but Ford loses. He might be Martin Van Buren. Martin Van Buren lost and later ran as a third-party candidate. He wanted to preserve his power and relevance. But Van Buren was a party builder. Right? That's who he was. Donald Trump was a Trump builder. Teddy Roosevelt, he'd like to be maybe Teddy Roosevelt, except Teddy Roosevelt, out of the limelight, tried to return and challenge Taft. But that helped turn the Republican Party, who had turned the Republican Party conservative, and the progressives and Teddy Roosevelt wanted the Republican Party to be progressive again, at least briefly. Roosevelt ended up running the strongest third-party campaign to date, getting second in both the popular and electoral votes, beating the Republican, but not winning. U.S. Grant tried to come back, not after losing, though, but after serving two terms. He led in the polls, but the delegates at the convention, kind of like Teddy Roosevelt, wouldn't give him the Republican Party nomination. He might be Hoover. Hoover lost to FDR, became much more conservative, then tried to run back again after losing in 1932, tried to run again in 1940, but he seemed like old news, and he lost to Wendell Willkie. His hope is he'll be like Grover Cleveland, who won, served, lost, came back to run, and won. He's the only president to do that. Not only, though, and I wanted to note that Grover Cleveland had the moral authority of having won the popular vote when he lost. I think that analog is some of what's behind, whether he knows the history or not, Trump's claims to have actually won that election. So he has that rhetorical wind at his back. I don't see Donald Trump as the favorite in the Republican, or at least not by a mile. He's the leading name, but I don't see him as the odds-on winner in the Republican primary. He could win. I would pick him above anybody else head-to-head. But it's not head-to-head. There's going to be a big race ahead. And don't think, therefore, that Donald Trump is the only thing to be concerned about. Democracy is the thing we've got to be concerned about. We're here not because to fight or support any given human being, but to support humanity, support democracy. That's the team we're on. Appreciate y'all. You're priceless. Worth a lot, not for sale. This is the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Jefferson Smith. This is your show.
I'll be back with you tomorrow. Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in taxes, please listen to this important message. The IRS is aggressively hiring and quickly ramping up their tax collection team. Act now and protect yourself with a call to Tax Alliance. Don't let the money you owe the IRS keep you up at night and ruin your life. You may be surprised at how much having Tax Alliance on your side can protect you from the IRS collections and help you save thousands on what you owe. Here's what a customer had to say.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job helping me through a quite difficult situation, saving me tens and thousands of dollars that I would have been paying for many years to come.
Tax Alliance is rated A+ with a Better Business Bureau with no consumer complaints. If you owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled returns, or have a payment plan and are still frustrated, call Tax Alliance now for a free consultation. 800-916-0994. 800-916-0994. That's 800-916-0994.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor. Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic.